Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Eric Spanberg, in for Mike Collins. In case you missed it, the NBA All-Star Game is coming to town. We started talking about this back in 2014 when Charlotte made a bid for the 2017 All-Star Weekend. And then the roller coaster began. First came news in 2015 that the Charlotte Hornets would host in 2017. But then came HB2, and there went the All-Star Game, to New Orleans, where the original Hornets defected back in 2002. And finally, in 2017, 2 months after HB2 was repealed, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said the Hornets were back in the All-Star business as of 2019. And so now it's here, with players, pop stars, sponsors, and media flooding the city. Here to discuss the hoops, the hype, and the money of the All-Star weekend are Hornets President Fred Whitfield. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hornets Chief Operating Officer Pete Guelli. Good morning, Pete.
Thanks for having us, Eric.
And Katie Peralta, Retail and Sports Business Reporter at the Charlotte Observer. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
So, as I mentioned, it is finally here. So, Fred, why don't you set the stage for us in terms of the size and the scope of what we are facing this weekend in Charlotte?
Well, Eric, this is truly a global event, and I'm not sure our city really understood how big a deal this was going to be for all of us. We're talking an approximated 150,000 visitors coming to our market, 1,800 media people from around the world. It's just going to be amazing to see our city on the global stage. 40 different languages and dialects will be broadcasting the All-Star Game live. And so when you talk about 400 countries being exposed to what we have here in Charlotte, it's just an unbelievable opportunity for us to really sell our city to people that don't know anything about what we enjoy every day.
I should mention that later in the show we're going to be joined by Del Curry, who before he became famous for being Steph's dad, racked up the most points in Hornets franchise history. So before we dig into the game a little bit in terms of the business and the tourism and those things, Fred, will you sketch out for people who are not basketball fans the format? Because people who were here in 91, it was East and West. Now we're Giannis and LeBron. What does that mean in basketball terms?
Well, what it means is it's a modern-day pickup game that the NBA's greatest players are playing. The two highest vote getters were named captains, and from there they got the roster of players that had been selected either as starters or substitutes, and they picked their team, and they're going to play hard. The winning team will be given $350,000 to their charity, and the losing team will be given $150,000. So, you know, all in all, it's going to be just a great weekend that a legacy will be left here in Charlotte after the game is long gone. But these guys are going to have fun. I can see them playing hard and doing the same thing they used to do when they were shirts and skins back in the day.
And so it's Team LeBron, obviously LeBron James. I think people have probably heard of him. And then Team Giannis, anybody want to go for the last name? Anyone?
Antetokounmpo.
Oh, very good.
There you go.
Pete Guelli. That's an NBA professional right there, who is better known as the Greek Freak, is the other team captain. So, Pete, since you get the award for pronunciation today, tell us a little bit also about some of the other aspects of this. When you host an All-Star game, there's a lot that goes with it. I think it's about $6 million in organizing costs. The city and the team are collaborating on that. Tell us a little bit about what goes into that and the other things that you'll be doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive undertaking, and going way back to when we were the Bobcats, and Fred and I used to dream about opportunities like this. Would we ever want to host an All-Star game? But it was too much work when you look at all the other things we needed to do, the things we had in front of us to improve the franchise and put it in a position to attract marquee events like this. So that was something that wasn't even on our radar. Once we transitioned to the Hornets and the business got to a point where we felt comfortable going after things like this, then the dialogue became real, because to your point, it's a big lift. It's a lot of work for a lot of people. We're expending a lot of human capital. And candidly, it's not really about the team. This is a great reputational opportunity for our organization, but we consider ourselves stewards of that arena. We really do consider this a public-private partnership. So we went after this event really for the city, because we know what the economic impact is. And if we're going to have to work a little bit harder to make this happen and make it a great event for the city, we're going to do it.
And it's not a big moneymaker for teams, right? The NBA controls not only all the tickets, but they basically control every aspect of this, correct?
Yeah, it's really about closing funding gaps. And when we went out, we raised a significant amount of money from the corporate community here in Charlotte, but that was really just to pay for the game. There's big numbers associated with hosting something like this. And I don't think we could expect the municipalities to come up with everything. So we wanted to make sure we chipped in. You know, the league gives us some assets that we can go out and market, but it was really to close a funding gap to be able to host the game in the first place. So it wasn't about it wasn't a financial windfall for us by any means.
So, Katie, obviously this game brings all kinds of business, tentacles, tourism, all kinds of opportunities, but also challenges. So what are you paying attention to this weekend as it really gets cranked up?
Well, so the last two All-Star games were in cities that are really used to holding large-scale events, Los Angeles and New Orleans. So for Charlotte, it's a much more of a planning ahead, a huge logistical undertaking that, you know, we've been saying for several months now, guys, this is a lot more like the DNC than it is like the CIAA tournament. And I think that people are starting to realize that. So what I'm going to be looking forward to a lot is, first of all, just the sheer volume of people in Uptown Charlotte. Most of the folks in town, it's, you know, 150K, like Fred said. That's roughly three times as many people as were here for the DNC in 2012. Most people don't have tickets to the game. You know, they're here for the parties and the activities and the, you know, kind of extra NBA events throughout the weekend. You know, from a traffic and just sheer transit perspective, it's going to be challenging. And I think that there's been a lot of planning put into that, you know, by the city, the team. You know, people have to look out for, closures of streets all around Uptown. Service of the light rail will be slightly altered this weekend. You can't bring certain size bags. Everything has to be in a class or a clear bag, for safety purposes. So from a transit perspective, I think that residents here are in for a bit of a treat this weekend. You might want to, you know, have your heads up a little bit if you're planning to come uptown. But for businesses, this is a huge weekend that I know that they are staffing up for. People are hiring extra. It's going to be kind of an around-the-clock type of weekend. You know, this weekend, you know, then we have the CIAA, and then we have the ACC tournament after that. So it's going to be sort of a triple.
These guys are trying to kill us, aren't they? They're trying to kill the sports business reporters, aren't they?
In a good way. Good to be busy.
And I think you did the story this week about Airbnb, for example. I mean, not only do you have the 32,000 hotel room nights, but you have things like Airbnb that are being flooded because of the All-Star Game.
Exactly, yeah. So this is, you know, that that phenomenon of people getting extra cash sort of in the e-commerce, but, you know, doing this online, it's an easy, I think, extra way to make money. You can stay with your friends if you want. People are charging like up to $800 a night if they live somewhere around Uptown. Because a lot of
for close friends, by the way, it's even more for if you're just a casual friend. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Exactly. So I think it's a, you know, good opportunity to for people to make some money if they're used to that kind of thing. But it's because hotels are going to be booked up, and you know, it's also because rates are going up significantly, especially as we get toward the weekend itself.
Now, for those who may not be familiar with the basketball world, the owner of the Hornets is a guy named Michael Jordan, who only played in 14 of these things, 14 All-Star games, was the MVP in three of them, 1988, 1996, and 1998. And yesterday, Michael and Fred had a press conference to talk about All-Star Week, and he was asked about Kemba Walker, who is obviously a current Hornet who will be in the starting lineup. Here's what he had to say.
You want to impress all the people that support you all the time. And that carried you right into the game to a point where I couldn't miss a shot. My energy, I was stealing the ball, I was doing. So you wanted to, you know, play that respect to the crowd. I don't think that's going to be any different for Kemba.
So, Fred, what does it mean to have one of your players in the starting lineup?
You know, it's almost surreal, Eric, to think where Kemba has come from his rookie year to where he is now. He has, without a doubt, earned this starting position. For our fans who come out and cheer for him every night, it's a treat for them. But I can imagine for he and his family, this is, you know, an experience that you really couldn't have written the script any better to have the game come to our arena for him now to be a Jordan Brand athlete, to be a starter in the All-Star game, right on the in the arena where he plays every night. And so we as an organization are just so proud of Kemba and what he represents. You know, the work ethic he comes in the gym with every day, not just during the season, but in the summer. You know, Pete's office and my office overlooked the practice court, and I can tell you for the last three summers, he has spent almost every day in the gym working on his jump shot, working on his ball handling, trying to perfect his game, and that's all culminating into having him be not just a premier guard in the East, but one of the premier guards in the NBA.
So let me get this straight. When you guys get tired of working, you just look out your office and watch an all-star NBA player practice his jump shot. Is
yeah,
that right?
Just a quick break. It re-energizes you, and you get back to work.
Yeah, I got it. All right. That's good. I like it. Hey, it's a good gig if you can get it. Pete, for fans who want to get a taste of the All-Star game but may not have tickets or may not want to pay what are very high prices on the secondary market, what's out there for them to do?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, we think this is going to be an incredible environment. As Katie pointed out, this game has typically been held in some big cities, and now that you're in Charlotte, it's a much, much more intimate environment. We think it's going to be a different footprint for All-Star maybe than anybody's ever seen before. So what we're encouraging people is come uptown and experience. So even if you don't have tickets to any events, things are going to be going on all around you, you know, whether it's, you know, one of the venues or you want to go in and have a bite to eat, there's going to be All-Star activities everywhere. But some of the free events in town, for instance, NBA Crossover over at the Epicenter, the last time I checked, there were a large number of tickets out, but it's free. You can go online. You can secure tickets for that. Obviously, we're encouraging people to come up to the store and be a part of that. Anybody who wants to come uptown and walk into the store and walk away with a piece of NBA history for the All-Star Game in Charlotte, they can certainly do that. There's practices. There's a number of events. But I think the biggest thing is just come up here and experience it. You won't be disappointed.
I think it is neat that the NBA has kind of gone out of its way to make sure that there are events. They've expanded the number of events over the weekend to make sure that people have an opportunity, if they want to participate. It's been called, you know, the Super Bowl for the NBA, but it's not just the one game on Sunday. In fact, I think that you could argue that the entire week leading up to these or to Sunday is kind of bigger than Sunday's game itself. So, you know, last year was the first year that they opened Media Day to the general public, which is actually a really neat format. If you've ever watched, you know, the Media Day on for the Super Bowl on that Monday before, it's a bit like that in the format. You can, you know, watch reporters going up to different players and asking questions that don't necessarily have a lot to do with the game itself. I mean, someone last year was asking Steph Curry about what he likes to eat before the game or something like that. You know, it's just lighthearted, but it's also a way to get closer to the action. So I think it's kind of neat that you can be part of the week without actually having to pay $13,000 for a lower ticket? Is that what you said?
You know, I heard someone paid $13,000 yesterday for a lower bowl seat. So, you know, the demand is definitely there.
Right.
Yeah, when Michael sat down yesterday and said he didn't have any extra tickets, he said it as though he didn't think he had enough tickets. When Michael Jordan's having trouble getting tickets, I think that tells you the demand's pretty high, right?
Absolutely. I think one thing I want to point out too, Eric, is the NBA has worked closely with us, and we did make a number of tickets available to our season ticket holders, for instance, via a lottery, and feel pretty comfortable that people who actually wanted them that are aligned with our organization were able to get their hands on them.
Okay. So, and there are some tickets for Rising Stars left, is that right?
Some tickets for Rising Stars left. And, you know, to Katie's point, I think the NBA has done a phenomenal job in looking at our entire city and trying to take advantage of other facilities other than just the Spectrum Center. So for Bojangles to be hosting the Media Day and the official All-Star practices and the Celebrity All-Star game, I think it's a great use of another phenomenal facility that our city has invested in. And we hadn't talked yet about the economic impact, but when you think about $100 million plus economic impact over a four-day period.
Fred, I got a buzzer beater here, so we will come back and pick up that thought. And we're also going to speak with Dale Curry, former Hornet and famous dad, right here on Charlotte Talks.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Back on Charlotte Talks, I'm Eric Spanberg in for Mike Collins, and today we are talking NBA basketball with the arrival of the league's All-Star Weekend, and we're going to bring in Dale Curry by phone. To me, He's the franchise's all-time scoring leader. To my kids, he's Steph Curry's dad. With that, Dell, welcome to Charlotte Talks.
Thanks, Eric.
You get that every now and then?
I do. I'm fine with that. Absolutely. I walk around uptown or grocery store where a lot of dads will go, hey, Dell Curry used to play for the Hornets. The kids will go, yeah, right. They go, Steph Curry's dad. Oh, that guy. Yeah,
we're one of those families. So, Dell, let's start with the previous All-Star weekend in Charlotte. In 1991, Michael Jordan, who now owns the team, of course, scored 26 points in that game. It was played on Tivola Road in a building that has since been demolished, but that you were very familiar with. What do you remember about that weekend, since obviously you were part of the team at that time?
That was my first time to attend an All-Star game. I just remember how electric, that part of Charlotte was. I remember the dunk contest. I remember D. Brown pumping up his shoes.
Yes. Reeboks.
And just the absolutely. Yeah. Just the excitement of the game. But still, I was a young player in the league. Just being able to experience All-Star weekend as a fan. Here in Charlotte, so it was a fun time. But wow, has the city grown? Has the league grown? This weekend is going to be just phenomenal.
Yeah, and you hit on one of the big differences, which is in '91, the Hornets didn't have anybody on the team, although you did have Rex Chapman and Kendall Gill were in the dunk contest. But we were talking earlier about Kemba Walker as one of the starters. You also have Miles Bridges, who is in the dunk contest. How important do you think that is for a team that's hosting an All-Star game to have players involved?
It's very important, and I think our players understand how important it is. I know the league does as well. As part of the entertainment, part of just the fabric of what the NBA is, they do a wonderful job of marketing, making sure that host city is well represented. Kemba Walker, he deserves obviously to be an All-Star for the third time, but to be voted a starter for a host team, host city, to have their guy called out amongst the starters is going to be great for those who were fortunate, for the Hornets fans that's fortunate enough to get tickets, to be able to see their guy run out with the start of the best players in the world. Should give them a lot of pride, and then for the league also to understand that of course Steph's in the game, he's going to start alongside Kemba, but to bring Steph into the 3-point shootout, guys who grew up here as Hornets fans, grew up in this city, them to be able to incorporate Steph in the All-Star events as well, just gives the home fans and the people that saw Steph and Stephen grow up and it helps support him throughout his career. That's doing it the right way.
That's the voice of Dell Curry. So let's remind people of the resume. He's currently the Hornets TV analyst. He played 16 years in the league. He is still the leading scorer all time for the Charlotte Hornets. And you just made reference to what's one of the most interesting wrinkles of the weekend, which is the 3-point contest, which is really just kind of like being in the driveway for you, because you have your son, Steph, who obviously is a Golden State Warrior, one of the most popular players in the league. And then you have Seth, who plays for the Portland Trailblazers, and also obviously grew up in Charlotte. So do you have a favorite in this contest?
Eric, let me correct you. I used to be the all-time leading scorer. The great Kemba Walker passed me last year.
Oh, that's right. I apologize. I was at that game. I'm sorry. You're number two. That's right. I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Kemba seems to be breaking a lot of them, and I couldn't be happier for him. He's a wonderful player.
Thank you for correcting
me. Even a greater person. As far as my favorite in the 3-point shootout, I got three guys in there: Kemba, Stephen, and Seth. Kemba's third time making the All-Star team. He's a starter. He's going to get his due. Steph has already competed in the 3-point shootout 5 times. He's won it once. So I'm going to go with Steph. Steph playing with Portland, top 2 in 3-point percentage. And I tell Seth all the time, it's amazing that he's able to shoot that percentage, considering the number of attempts that he gets in a game to keep that consistency and have that rhythm. So I'm pulling for Seth, give him a little love, put him on the national stage and see if he can make some threes. He competed in the 3-point shootout in the G League in New York a couple of years ago, did pretty good. So I'm looking forward to seeing him step on the big stage, and hopefully he can advance in the rounds, get to the finals, and see what happens.
When is the last time that the three of you played horse or did some shooting together?
We have camps throughout the summer here in Charlotte and in California. So we'll get in the gym and shoot around with the kids, just kind of, you know, give them a little treat. And the old guy can still hold his own. normally a long game, because both those guys are very good at putting the ball in the hole, especially in the spot-up situation. So that was my game. So even though I can't move a lot, got a little gray hair, but the wrist and the fingers still work, I can still put it in the hole.
You mean you weren't all defense, Dale? Is my memory failing me right now?
My offense was my defense there.
That's right. So yesterday somebody asked Michael Jordan whether he could ever have imagined not only becoming an NBA player before going on to own a team in his home state, but then bringing the All-Star game to his home state. So for you, what about playing in the NBA, and then you have your two sons reach the NBA, and now they come home to face off in the All-Star three-point contest? Could you have ever imagined something like this?
It just keeps getting better, Eric. I tell you what, man, to play 16 years and have my son grow up around the game and understand what dad's doing, and to be able to take them to practice and to games and be around Muggsy and Glenn Rice and Larry Johnson and Alonzo, guys setting great examples as professionals and as men. I could just bring my kids to practice, leave them in the locker room, and I could go do whatever. And I knew they'd be safe. I knew they'd be, you know, well taken care of and looked after. Those guys were great. And then, you know, for them to say, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to try to do this as well. I get people all the time ask me, how'd you get your son to the NBA? Well, I mean, I gave him as many resources as I could. I gave him all the advice. But ultimately, they had to have the discipline, the dedication, the work ethic, and to reach their goal. And I couldn't be prouder of the men that they are to do that. Now, Stephen, first-round lottery pick, MVP, he's got three rings, but I'm just as proud of Steph and the route that he took to get there, being injured his senior year at Duke, going to the G League a couple of years, getting a couple 10 days, and then when he got his opportunity, he made the most of it. So dream come true as a father, because I know how hard it is to get there to the NBA, compete amongst the best in the world, and then continue to be there and play at a high level. So I'm really looking forward this weekend. I know the Currys are so proud of the city of Charlotte, and we want to say thank you for all the support over the years that they've given me and my family.
Yeah, Seth, I obviously remember at Duke. Where, Steph, I can't. Did he school around here somewhere? What did he? I'm sure.
Yeah, little school right up 77 there.
That's right, little liberal arts school. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So hopefully we get a chance to go up there. I think they have a game this on Friday. And I think Steph, you know, if the schedule works out, he's going to try to get up there and see a little bit of that. But he's still involved with Davidson. Coach McKillop's still one of my best friends, and him and Steph talk, you know, on a regular basis. And obviously Steph keeps up with what the Wildcats are doing. So, again, Steph knows that how big of a role Bob McKillop and Davidson played in where he's at today.
Yeah, if you need help getting tickets, if Steph has trouble, just let me know and I can make some calls.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I want to do my part, especially since Kemba has overtaken you as the scoring leader. I know you're a little down right now. So, Kemba and Steph, you mentioned, are teammates on Sunday night. So are you picking Team Giannis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. And Steph alluded to how excited he was to share that backcourt with Kemba. You know, Steph growing up being a Hornets fan here in the city of Charlotte, and now Kemba playing for the Hornets and doing the great things that he's doing. Steph is real excited. They're good friends, so he's real excited to be sharing the backcourt and have their names called out together. So it's going to be an exciting time, not only Sunday, but Saturday and the entire weekend.
So take us through your weekend. What will you be doing? I mean, obviously, I know you'll be going to the game and the three-point contest, but what else are you planning to do as the league comes to your backyard?
Well, of course, Thursday, the Hornets were in Orlando. So when we touch down early Friday morning, Thursday night, we're going to hit the ground running. First of all, all four of my grandkids will be here. That's the big thing, Eric.
You're booked.
I don't get a chance to spend enough time with them. So that's the biggest thing on my list, is hanging out with my grandkids, especially the smaller ones, so that they can see the granddad and know who I am. But we've got some events around the community, just try to give back and let the people in Charlotte know that we still want to support the community and how proud we are to be from Charlotte here. Hopefully get to the Davidson game. And then we've got a lot of family and friends that are coming in. I know we talked about MJ trying to find enough tickets. Same here for the Currys. I don't know if we'll have enough tickets, but my house will be full. Those who won't get to actually get to Uptown to the events, we'll have a house party, a watch party here. So we've got a lot going on. And my family is very excited to see my boys, my daughter, her husband, and the grandkids as well.
So as you're well aware, this is the 30th anniversary of pro basketball in Charlotte. And you have been a constant presence here throughout almost all of those years. Obviously, Muggsy Bogues is a team ambassador. We've had Glenn Rice come back this year, Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning. I'm just wondering how surprised you are that, particularly with that original core, that they have remained not only relevant but very popular here in Charlotte with all the changes in the city and in sports.
Well, Hornets doing a wonderful job of celebrating that the 30 years of the franchise's existence. And the guys who started their careers here in Charlotte, they know how excited the city was for basketball. And it really was a foundation to their careers. And we were a close-knit group, especially in those early years, Lonzo, Larry, Muggsy, Hersey Hawkins, Kenny Gaddison, Kendall Gill. The guys are anxious to come back and just, you know, talk about old times, see how the city has grown. And even when I go out on the road and see some of those guys, you know, they want to talk about old times. Guys really had fun in this city playing for the organization, and they understand that it was the foundation for them improving their careers and staying in the league and learning how to play the game the right way, becoming professionals. Those guys are anxious to get back and say thank you again to all the many fans around the city who helped propel their careers.
Last question before I let you get on to your business trip, heading out with the team. Just from your perspective, how important was the return of the Hornets name and the colors and the logo in 2014?
Oh, I mean, it's big. It's priceless. You can't put a price on how big that was. There was some skepticism when I talked to some people about, I don't think it'll make a difference. I was like, no, you're dead wrong on that. The Hornets name, it's what resonates in the city. The Bobcats name just never could take hold. And again, like we alluded to earlier, when I walk around Uptown or in Charlotte, people look at me as a Hornet. And when that name came back, not only did you get the Hornet name back, but you got fans back that grew up Hornets fans that just didn't resonate with the Bobcats. They re-engaged with the organization. They got season tickets. They're watching games. They're excited about having their team called the Charlotte Hornets back in their city. So, and Fred Whitfield, his crew, seamless transition of getting that name back. Michael did a wonderful job of committing the resources that it took. It wasn't easy, but the Hornets really made it look as easy as it could be in getting that name back. And I know Steph, all those guys, they called me and said, that's the right thing to do because they grew up Hornets fans and they know how important it is.
Adele, thank you so much for your time, and good luck to you and your family this weekend.
Thank you, Eric. Looking forward to it. Take care.
All right, so we're back in studio. Obviously, we have Pete Gwelly, Chief Operating Officer with the Hornets. We have Hornets President Fred Whitfield, and we have Katie Peralta from the Charlotte Observer, who is the retail and sports business reporter. And we're talking about all things All-Star. Fred, I saw you sort of chuckle when he said you can't put a price on changing the name. I think $5 million was sort of blaring from your forehead, right? There was a price, but there was a good return.
Yeah, and you know, when Pete and I put the business case together and had it really had data to really support our business case that we made to Michael and Curtis Polk, our managing partner, that we felt like it was not only the right thing to do, it was the only thing to do at that point. To Dale's point, for whatever reason, the Bobcats name would just not resonate in this community. And having, you know, been a season ticket holder with the prior Hornets organization myself, I knew we had tried to do a lot of the things and replicate a lot of the things that the prior Hornets organization had done, but it wasn't authentic as Bobcats. And so as Pete and I put our heads together and worked with our marketing team and worked with Nike and the NBA and the New Orleans Pelicans organization to really not only look at bringing the name back, but more importantly, bringing the history back between 1988 and 2002, which would allow us to do things like celebrate the 30th anniversary, bring back players like Alonzo and Muggsy and Dale and Kenny Gattis and those guys and celebrate their being
such
a part
an important part.
I mean, it's huge. And it's, to Dale's point, it's what this community loved. They loved everything about the Hornets. It led the league in attendance for the first 9 years. All those things really, you know, played a part in what we presented in asking Michael to make a $5 million plus investment, and we assured him that we'd make it back. I'm not sure, Pete, you can jump in, but I'm not sure we realized it happened as quickly as it did, but it completely changed our business and how we were viewed, not only in our market, but across the league.
Pete, I think you told me that it used to be the team was mentioned kind of at the end of a sales pitch, and then when Hugo came back into the picture, it was a little more prominent.
Yeah, I mean, there's really kind of three legs of a stool with any organization, right? It's the property, which we have a great property. It's the team and how that team's performing, and it's the brand. And, you know, we were missing that brand piece. So to your point, when we would talk to companies about aligning with us, we talked about the property and how many people were coming through the property and how, you know, anybody with any disposable income in this market will be in Spectrum Center at some point during the course of the year, and not just for basketball games but for events as well. Once we made the transition to the Hornets, that was the lead story. How do you align with the brand? How do we use this brand to help you grow your business? So it completely flipped the script. And to Fred's point, we were confident we would get that return, but it exceeded our expectation. I mean, any business metric that we measure our business by completely exploded. And as the Bobcats, we were quickly approaching a ceiling, but as the Hornets, we smashed right through it.
So no Rufus Links at the top of the previous sales pitch, is that right? Stay with us. We're going to get a little more into the business side of the All-Star Weekend when we come back right here on Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Back on Charlotte Talks, I'm Eric Spanberg in for Mike Collins, and I'm joined today in studio by Pete Gwelly, who's the Chief Operating Officer of the Hornets, Hornets President Fred Whitfield, and Katie Peralta, who is the Retail and Sports Business Reporter at the Charlotte Observer. So, Katie, we were talking about the switch back to the Hornets name. I think you were here by then, is that right?
That was just a year before I came back.
Okay, and certainly you've covered that since you've been here extensively. What do you think in terms of how these, not to put you on the spot, but how are they doing?
Well, I remember when I started doing the sports business thing, one of the conversations Pete and I had was about brand equity. And I think that the Hornets over the years have done like a really smart job of slowly incorporating that kind of feeling of nostalgia that fans had, early fans. Like, I don't want to call myself old, but like I had like this little tiny Hornets starter jacket when I was 2 that my parents got me. And that kind of original, you know, the original look and feel of the team, you know, people in their early 30s, late 20s, like grew up Hornets fans. So I think to capitalize on that feeling of nostalgia from everything from like the classic nights to bringing back stars like Muggsy and Alonzo, I think it's really kind of tapping into that sense of pride, you know, regional pride, pride in a team that, you know, there was a lot of drama when the team went to New Orleans, and then a lot of drama with, you know, the name coming back. I think that it was a smart sort of like gradual process. And this we were just talking about during the break. It seems like this was written in a storybook. It's sort of a culmination of all of these like perfect factors, you know, the 30th anniversary. I mean, the All-Star Game is on Michael Jordan's birthday. This is all sort of like, you know, the stars align. But, you know, I think that it's been a really interesting, cool sort of tapping into that sense of pride in the team. So I think that people who are longtime fans, who are fans of, you know, the Currys just because they're from here, anything like that, sort of it's if you live here and if you've grown up with the team, you're going to be paying attention to this weekend.
And Fred, it's interesting what Katie's saying. I think part of the storybook nature of this is a result of something that you didn't want to happen, which is we had HB2 and the game was going to be here in 2017, and then it was obviously taken away and then comes back in 2019. But in some ways, that delay has really helped.
Yeah, you know, we look at it as a blessing in disguise, actually, Eric. You know, the Nike NBA partnership is now up and running, and one of the really unique facets of that partnership is All-Star Weekend is owned by Jordan Brand. And so to think about having all the All-Stars in Jordan Brand uniforms on the court is something that wouldn't have happened 2 years ago. Our Uptown Corridor has 5 or 6 new hotels. Our building it's got all the renovations done. It looks beautiful. I just think, you know, coming into 19, you know, we are so prepared, having worked with the league and the city and CRVA and the county for now 5 years to get ready for this. Now we got to execute. And, you know, one of the things that Pete said earlier, which we take very seriously, is we are stewards of the Uptown Arena, and it should be used to provide an economic impact for our region. And, you know, we believe that every time we get one of these large global events and we execute well as a community, it allows us the opportunity to get the next great one. And so we want to do everything we can to execute at a very, very high level on the global stage. You know, we certainly want more ACC tournaments down the road. We want to get the CIAA tournament back after they realize Baltimore is not Charlotte. But, you know, that's part of what we're charged to do in running and managing the arena. And coming out of House Bill 2 and having our best year ever in that building from a concert family show standpoint is something that we're very proud of. And we just want to thank the community for supporting us. The city of Charlotte has been a phenomenal partner. CRVA has been phenomenal. The county's been phenomenal. It's, to Pete's point earlier, it's been a complete team effort of all of us coming together. And thankfully, our owner has allowed us to use that human capital that works every day for the Hornets organization to be able to work closely with the city and the NBA to make sure that this is going to be, you know, just an unbelievable opportunity that we couldn't buy this much publicity ever that we're going to get this weekend for our city.
So you mentioned the arena. So let's remember, this arena opened in 2005, built by the city, $265 million. And I took a little peek last night at what's ahead. So obviously this weekend you got a pretty good schedule. February 15th, 16th, 17th, NBA All-Star Game. It's a pretty good event to get. All right, then February 22nd, Hornets are back playing the Wizards. February 23rd, Hornets play at home against the Nets. February 24th, Fleetwood Mac in concert. February 25th, Steph Curry back. He can't get enough of the 704. February 26th, WWE SmackDown. February 27th, Hornets Rockets. Then you go into CIAA tournament. 10 days after that, ACC tournament. I mean, have you ever had a run like this since this building's been open?
And Pink comes, you know, somewhere.
Yes. March 9th. She's
March
there.
9th.
Yes. I'm the new calendar for Spectrum Center. I mean, have you ever had a run like this?
We haven't. But, you know, we focused on Pete got here 10 years ago. And when he got here, there was not a lot to sell in the Bobcat with the Bobcats brand. So we really focused on the property then and tried to find every way that we could to be creative to outbook my hometown of Greensboro and Raleigh and Greenville and Columbia that have buildings that compete for these family shows and concerts. And we've got a great partnership with Live Nation, which puts most of the major acts on the road. But we're also looking at non-Hornets basketball events and trying to get as many of them in our building as well. And so, you know, the CIAA, the ACC, we want to make them feel like it's their home as well and want them to make sure we're in that rotation as they move their tournament around. Because, again, we have so many college basketball fans that also deserve the opportunity to come to the Uptown Corridor, check in their hotels, walk to the arena, walk to great restaurants. And we have just an Olympic-style uptown that really makes us unique for hosting big-time events.
And next year, Katie, as you're aware, the Republican National Convention will be in that building. I'm wondering if you view this in some ways as kind of a test run, what happens this weekend in terms of what we might see in 2020.
Certainly. I think looking at what Uptown looks like now slash what it will look like in 2020 compared with 2012, I mean, it's night and day. We've talked about, you know, the thousands more hotel rooms Charlotte has. The fact that it's simply more walkable now than it was in 2012, I think that there's a lot more to do. I think that, you know, this weekend is a bit of a test run for restaurants and bars just to handle the sheer volume of visitors. But I think that in many, many ways, Charlotte is going to be better prepared to handle an event of that scale. And of course, there are huge differences between the DNC and the RNC, but it's still going to be an event of massive proportions for Uptown that I know that businesses will look forward to.
Again, that's the voice of Katie Peralta. She is the retail and sports business reporter at the Charlotte Observer, and Fred Whitfield, the Hornets president, and Pete Guelli, the Hornets chief operating officer, are with us, and we're talking about the All-Star Game and all things Hornets at the moment. Pete, I was going to ask you, in terms of, you mentioned earlier, tickets are scarce. I think you had a lottery for season ticket holders, right? And then you did some fundraising packages with your corporate crowd. So what kinds of things are you doing on the business side to keep your customers and partners happy, even though they may not be going to the All-Star Game itself?
Well, you know, going back to what we've been talking from the beginning, I think our customers and partners are happy that we're hosting, we're in a position to host an event like this. And they're all on the same page that we are. They understand how important this is for the city of Charlotte. So right out of the gate, when we secured the game, everybody was absolutely thrilled. And you got to remember, this goes all the way back to 2016. You know, we put hospitality packages together, the majority of them, which were gone within a month, 4 years ago almost now. It's really incredible to see how quickly people stood up. But we'll have a lot going on for our partners. Again, a lot of them bought in. They're going to be at the games. They're going to be at the events. They're going to be hosting their clients and hosting their employees. We've got something set up at the Spring Hill Suite where we're going to be entertaining a number of partners throughout the week. And we have appointments literally nonstop from tonight at about 8 o'clock all the way through Sunday, probably at 11 o'clock at night, something every hour on the hour. And a lot of it is, you know, the NBA has a lot of events going on in the marketplace, and we felt it was important to have Hornets representation at all those events. So we were dividing and conquering a little bit. We couldn't clone Fred, so we're going to split everybody up and try to cover some of these events. But we'll be very active this week.
And so to go back to the story of Michael Jordan, he bought the team 8 years ago, paid $175 million. Last week, Forbes valued the Hornets at $1.25 billion, which, as amazing as that is, that's 28th out of 30 teams. So that shows you how well the NBA is doing. Here's what Michael had to say this week about the growth of the game and his franchise.
Once again, I say that the growth of basketball and the interest within the game of basketball has grown tremendously. The business around basketball has grown just as much.
So he's alluding to that global aspect. Katie, I'm sure you're seeing the same releases I'm seeing, which is it's just incredible, not only the number of events, but the international flavor of what the All-Star Game brings.
Yeah, like Fred alluded to earlier, I mean, the game itself is going to be broadcast in like hundreds of different countries, dozens of different languages. The fact that the league is really seen as a lot more of a global, inclusive league than others, and I think that it's also a lot more progressive in many ways. I mean, again, not to beat a dead horse here, but the reason that the All-Star Game is in Charlotte this weekend as opposed to 2017 is because of House Bill 2, and the league stood up for what it thought was, you know, the right thing to do. It thought that House Bill 2 was, you know, discriminatory toward the LGBT community. So I think the fact that we're seeing all these different events around the All-Star Game too, the fact that there's different discussions with like Time Out Youth, for instance, to talk about, you know, LGBT issues. There's a summit for women later this week. There's volunteering at the Children's Hospital. So I think the popularity of the league is it draws from not just the fact that the on the court product is really good. It's the fact that the league lets players be themselves and speak out and, you know, be active in social activism and that sort of thing. So, you know, like Michael just said in that press conference, there's a huge growing popularity in the NFL or in the NBA right now. Excuse me.
Fred just fainted.
Sorry about that.
Katie's going to be fine for that.
Well, you're right, Katie, because year after year, the NBA is also the most diverse in terms of its executives, coaching, coaching, all those kinds of things. Fred, you've been around basketball, obviously, all your life. You played in college. You worked with Nike. You worked with the agency that handled Michael's business side, obviously with the Wizards and now with the Bobcats and Hornets. But I want to ask you, back in 91, you were in this part of the country. You were working for Nike. And you were a Hornets season ticket holder. And so you were at that game on Tavola Road. Just paint a little bit of the picture of how things were different at that time in terms of staging this kind of event in Charlotte.
Well, there was no talk of an uptown corridor and or any activity uptown. And, you know, we call it the old Coliseum, the old Hive, was a tremendous place to see basketball. But it was just completely different. There were 21,000 seats in that building and very few suites. I think there were maybe six or eight suites in the building. I think they held 12 people. our building is, you know, obviously built a completely different way. But, you know, the old Coliseum was away from downtown. It was really away from everything. You know, you really had to sort of find energy during that weekend. Dale mentioned there was a lot of energy in town, but it was really just around the game and All-Star Saturday night. I can remember staying at the Moorhead Inn with a bunch of friends and us having, you know, breakfast in the morning, and after the events at night, we'd all get back and huddle and watch TV and hang out. You know, now people will be at the epicenter at, you know, at restaurants uptown. People will be walking. There'll just be energy throughout the city. And so as great of an event as it was back in 91, it's completely different now, and the energy will start today. And to Pete's point, there's something literally every hour around town and that we'll be involved in. But, you know, one of the things I just wanted to touch on quickly that the league and the city were very proactive about, and it was about having a diversity supplier initiative. And Mayor Lyles and Marcus Jones and Ora Stewart from the NBA, you know, a year ago started planning to make sure that LGBT companies, women-owned companies, minority-owned companies would have an opportunity to participate and be able to be hired to help us execute this weekend, and to think about $1.5 million+ being invested in minority companies is something that the league is very proud of, and we are as well. And so to be able to spread the wealth throughout the community and have everybody impacted in a positive way is really what our league is about. And when you think about a fourth of our players being international now, it really is a global game that continues to grow, whether in India or China or Mexico, where the NBA is actually hosting games annually, is something that I think has caused this global growth such that 200 countries will be sending representatives in to cover this live.
And Pete, you've had a taste of that international aspect. Obviously, the Hornets went to China for a couple of exhibitions. And when you have all of these corporate leaders coming in, I'm sure you have visions of sponsorships and other things dancing in your head, correct?
You know, I think it just lends a completely another different level of credibility to your organization. And, you know, we're really proud of what we've accomplished to put ourselves in a position to host a game like this. But I really think that's what's about. Katie talked about brand equity, and that's the real value play for us here. It's reputational. It takes your brand equity to another level, that you've got, you know, a brand in place that's, you know, competent enough to handle an All-Star game. And if you look at this weekend, it's not just the NBA coming in here. We are integrated into almost everything that you will see. So it's very Hornet-centric. It's very Charlotte-centric. And I think people will pick up on all those nuances as the weekend goes on. But yeah, it's a source of pride. It's something that we've been talking about with sponsors now for the last few years, and we'll be talking to a lot of them when they come in here this week.
The All-Star Game is descending upon us. If you're not ready, it's too late. It's here. the logos are here. The signs are here. And everybody's going to be here probably starting, I guess, tomorrow, and then it'll really ramp up from there. I want to thank Pete Gwelly and Fred Whitfield from the Hornets, Katie Peralta from the Charlotte Observer, and I want to wish everyone good luck with the traffic in and around Uptown the next few days. It'll be worth it. The NBA All-Star Game is with us. Thank you so much for joining us here on Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.